Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to tell you, I'm still concerned with a 6-3. I hate to say conservative. I'm going to go with radical corporate Supreme Court. There's not much, in my view, conservatism on that court, especially when you look at some of the decisions that they've come out with and some that I fear are coming, especially around elections. Who knows where this goes? That's where, you know, you can't even write this stuff and have it be credible. But we're living right through it. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, well, Amy Coney Barrett and the rise of our COVID situation. I've asked Ken McCallion to come talk with us. He's an attorney and also the author of COVID-19, The Virus That Changed America and the World. Ken, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me, Rick.
So let's start with Amy Coney Barrett. You're an attorney. You obviously have a much greater grasp of the law than I do. Thoughts with her sitting on the court?
Well, it's going to decidedly change the fulcrum in the Supreme Court. And today we saw a decision, for example, on a Wisconsin vote. No mail-in ballots will be counted unless they're received by Election Day, even if they're postmarked before. And that's without Amy Coney Barrett. So it's a pretty raw political court at this point. It's very unfortunate, as I see both as a lawyer and as a citizen of the country, seeing such a conservative, and not just judicially conservative, because a narrow interpretation of the Constitution I kind of believe in as well. But it's conservative in the most virulent of political senses. And I'm afraid we're headed for a very bad place with the Supreme Court.
No, I'm with you as well. But, you know, you brought up the Wisconsin case, which, you know, Pennsylvania just had a similar case. And the Supreme Court allowed the state's Supreme Court decision to count the ballot up to 3 days after Election Day to stand. Now, there's talk here in the state that with Barrett on the court, the Republicans are going back to have that readdressed and that could be overturned down the road, really screwing up our elections. What's the difference between the Wisconsin and the Pennsylvania case then? Any thoughts?
Well, the Wisconsin case is just purely political. There's no legal basis for not counting mail-in ballots that are postmarked before an election. It's just a purely political move. There's no legal. They don't even try and dress it up with any legal niceties. The Pennsylvania case was a little more complex, a little more nuanced. But the Supreme Court is jumping into state electoral politics, and that's really not a good place for the court or the country to be in, to have the Supreme Court being the so-called national electoral decider. The Constitution wasn't structured that way. That wasn't the role of the Supreme Court. There's nothing in the Supreme Court or in the Constitution, which says the Supreme Court will ultimately decide, as in 2000, a contested election. And I think it's a very dire and very dangerous route for the judiciary and the Supreme Court to be taking.
Yeah, because I was going to bring that up because the story broke today that evidently Brett Kavanaugh has weighed in on something that Justice Rehnquist was in favor of, that even, you know, Sandra Day O'Connor wasn't on board with back then, which is basically not counting the votes and appointing our king, which is, you know, I'm really concerned that the votes aren't going to get counted this time around and that we're going to have another 2000 where the person who won the election isn't in the White House.
Well, absolutely, and I was shocked, like many people, in 2000, the way that it went, and certainly since then, the system seemed to be righting itself. However, if we have a close election this time, it's quite likely that the will of the people, or even the will of the Electoral College, won't be followed if in fact the electors are still not presented in a non-competitive or uncontested manner before the House. And fortunately, the Democratic majority and the leadership in the House are starting to take some emergency measures and plans in the event that it's thrown in a chaotic manner into the House.
Yeah, I got to tell you, since Trump came on the scene, it's been all chaos all the time. And it wouldn't surprise me that we end up in this this really twisted, really undemocratic place that I fear we're going to end up.
Yeah, in the same day today as this is going on, we have Mark Meadows announcing that we're just not going to control the pandemic. I mean, they finally come out and say it. And as I went into in the book, everyone, including myself early on, February, March, April, May, thought that it was just a dysfunctional White House and a dysfunctional leadership failure to follow the playbooks which had been set before as far back as George W. Bush in 2005. But now we're finding out that they never really had any serious intention of trying to control this pandemic. They turned it into a political weapon. They turned the wearing of masks and social distancing into a political issue rather than a public health issue. And now they're saying, well, you know, whatever happens, it happens at this point. And the price might be at least an excessive couple of hundred thousand deaths. And if we go into the herd immunity model, in order to get herd immunity, most of the experts say the country will be facing at least a minimum of 3 or 4 million deaths, almost all of them unnecessary if in fact we had crushed the virus early on, or even if we did it now. But we're experiencing exponential increase right now across the board, actually in many of the states such as Pennsylvania's has an uptick, but it's not quite as bad as Wisconsin or some of the others. And you have a suppression of the mail-in ballots, which will hopefully drive people to show up in person on November 3rd. But we're putting our citizens at terrible, terrible risk as the pandemic is taking off exponentially.
Yeah, but it's not just that. It's just not that, Ken. I mean, you know, Trump's running around the country having these super spreader events. I mean, he was in Eastern Pennsylvania today. You know, a couple of thousand people showed up. They've all got masks on, but the masks are all down under their chin or wherever. And you go, what's the point of even bringing the mask if you're not going to wear it properly? So, I mean, he's literally, you know, while saying it's not a big deal, don't worry about it, nobody dies from it, just those old people who have other problems. He's literally being, you know, someone who's spreading it.
No, absolutely. And the local epidemiologists and health departments are unfortunately tracing uptick and an increased spread of the virus as he moves around the country. And the virus isn't that complicated. If you have people without masks, you put them close together, the virus loves that. If you distance people, wear masks and are cautious, then the virus is suppressed. It's not that complicated.
No, it's not that complicated. And had we just done what we should have done right from the start and lock things down, keep people away from each other and actually do it, we wouldn't be in this mess now, because I'm sure you saw Dr. Anthony Fauci came out and said that we're not even out of the first wave yet. Because I got people saying, no, we're going to head to the third wave. I'm going, we're not even done with the first wave yet.
No, it's modulated up and down, but it's certainly never been suppressed. And you know, some of the blue states have done it right, some not so good. New York was a little slow on the uptake. But I have to take my hat off to the Republican governor of Arizona, where faced with a spike in cases there, they've taken very vigorous action, closing down the bars again, directing people to stay at home if at all possible, and the wearing of masks, they've been able to tamp it down. So it's not really a political issue. It's a question of just public will and public health necessity.
One thing I did want to ask you about, to kind of change topics a little bit, you know, this election, you know, Donald Trump came out over the weekend and said that, you know, he's going to fire, you know, if he's reelected, the FBI director. I guess he was going to go after the CIA director. He's going to go after the Pentagon. He's cleaning house because evidently they didn't do what he wanted them to do. Obviously, the FBI director didn't go arrest every person in the Biden campaign and because of the laptop. I'm curious your thoughts on Rudy Giuliani's discovery of this laptop, because I trusted Rudy not even a little bit anymore. I had very, very little trust of him before, but not even a little bit now. He's fallen from grace. Is not even an easy way of putting that.
Well, it's really like a moth to the flame, and I know him fairly well because I worked with him as a prosecutor in New York, and I've also followed his comings and goings in the Ukraine, where I represented the former prime minister there, and have came up with some of the evidence which ended up in the indictment of Paul Manafort, which originated with Ukraine. And Rudy Giuliani is doing exactly what Paul Manafort did. He's basically trying to enter into the corrupt world of Ukraine and translate that corruption into the U.S. political system. The Ukraine system, the emails, the Burisma emails, they've known for some time that this was a Russian disinformation campaign. And even the Treasury Department has warned Rudy Giuliani that Ukrainians he's been dealing with are Russian agents. It has not deterred him. And most of the experienced intelligence analysts that I've spoken to, and I was with the government myself for a long time working in counterintelligence, have said that this has all the hallmarks and classic fingerprints of a Russian disinformation campaign.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate. It doesn't seem to be going anywhere outside as the small conservative orbit of the parallel universe. And hopefully it won't influence the election. And Chris Wray himself, the FBI, to his credit, has been acting professionally. Certainly they're investigating, but they're not running out as James Comey did, unfortunately, with press conferences held a few days before the election to try and swing it one direction or the other.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate for Rudy, but he's been handling life this way for several years now.
No, it's an excellent point. I have a friend who says, you know, he spent a lot of time doing work for the MEK and all kind of shady groups, so it's not surprising. But, you know, this latest movie with Sacha Baron Cohen just came out. Rudy, in kind of a, whether you believe it was he was just fixing a microphone or not, it's a compromised position. And, you know, I'm looking at this and going, you know, how is it possible that Rudy's doing all this? Is it possible that they're all compromised at some level? You know, is it possible that, you know, what they're saying was the Russian hoax is actually kind of, there's some factual basis to it?
Certainly with Paul Manafort, we're seeing it again with Rudy Giuliani. Paul Manafort's right-hand man in Ukraine was a KGB, actually FSB, a GRU, Russian intelligence trained agent. And we're seeing that Rudy has surrounded himself with those with a direct pipeline to Russian intelligence groups and the Kremlin. And it's just history, sadly, repeating itself with a U.S. lawyer going over there and trying to do the bidding of Trump and ending up really getting nailed for it.
Yeah, it's scary stuff. So last question I've got for you. You know, let's say something happens, Trump's reelected. What do we expect in the coming 4 years? I don't see any real policy changes. I see four more years of chaos. I'm curious what you see.
Well, I think so as well. A lot of commentators have said, oh, you know, we're moving towards a dictatorship and our autocracy. But I think I agree with you. We're just headed towards more chaos because I think we're going to see, certainly the House is going to remain Democratic. And even if Trump continues, you're not going to see any Trump legislative agenda moving anywhere. It's going to continue to be just, unfortunately, a sad reality TV show as American prestige and position in the world continues to plummet.
Yeah, it's but we'll see what happens come election day. But four more years of the chaos that we've seen, the isolation, you know, how we're this go it alone policy only going to make China more muscular, more emboldened, and also the Russians. I mean, you know, the reality is exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. The Russians, I mean, they're if it wasn't for their disinformation and intelligence operations and their bromance with Trump, they'd just be another third world, basically gas station. But their prestige in the world is seriously expanding.
Excellent point. Ken, I appreciate you taking some time for us. I hope folks will take a look at the book, COVID-19, The Virus That Changed America and the World. We'll get links out on social media on how you can take a look at that. Kenneth McCallum, I appreciate you taking time for us.
Well, thanks so much, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Thoughts on Rudy and why he's fallen so far? Quick break, right back. Stick around.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.